Good morning, Revolution Church. It is so good to be here worshiping with you today. Even if we can't be in person, just knowing that we're worshiping as one in the Spirit today brings comfort to my soul. God is indeed good, He is indeed in control, and He is indeed here with us today as we worship. Now, normally this is the time of the service where we would release our kids to Revolution Kids Church, and I'm not going to ask you to send your kids off to their rooms right now because this is a family-friendly service, but I do want you, after the service today, to check out some of the incredible videos that Amy Carlson has posted to our website for Little Peeps, Revolution Kids, and Impact Youth so that they can all continue to worship this week right here along with us. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the book of John and the seven I am statements that Jesus gives in that book to tell us who he is as God and who we are as God's people. So today we're going to take a look at John chapter 15, where Jesus tells us that he is the true vine. Let's read together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it might bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. The vine has for a long time been a symbol for Israel. Way back to the time of Moses, when he sent spies into the promised land, and they came back carrying a bunch of grapes that was so big it had to be tied on a pole between two people to bring it back to the camp. The vine was a sign of God's fruitfulness and favor on the people of Israel. Now this continued to be a symbol through the Psalms and through the prophets and such as Isaiah or Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Hosea. It was even a symbol that was printed on the currency of the time of Christ. But probably the most interesting picture of the vine with regard to this passage is that at the time of Jesus, there was a golden vine that was draped across the four pillars at the entrance to the temple. Josephus was so taken by the size and grandeur and wealth of this vine that he wrote about it in his ancient history. People would make donations of the finest gold just to have a leaf or a berry or a cluster of grapes added to this vine, often with their name engraved upon it. This is maybe like we see in some churches today where someone has donated some money to the church and their name is on a pew or a wing or a classroom or a piece of art that might be hanging, trying to immortalize themselves in the place of worship. Now, Jesus confronted this type of idolatry quite often that put the temple at a higher place than relationship with God. When Jesus talks about the vine, he's no doubt talking about all of these things. Surely he's talking about a real vine with real grapes, maybe not one in particular, but the real thing, the real deal, as he uses this analogy to explain the kingdom. He also is talking about the nation of Israel, or more precisely, the people of God, who might not be limited strictly to Israel. And also, he's talking about this vine that adorned the entrance to the temple. When Jesus says, I am the true vine, He's making a distinction between himself and the vine at the temple, and also a distinction between him and the vine that was talked about by the prophets. You read the prophets, and they talk about the vine as one that's gone wild, one that is fruitless, one that is no longer the picture of what the gardener had envisioned for it. And these false vines, the temple and even the national culture and cult of Israel, they'd become idols to the people. Even within the true vine, Jesus goes on to talk about two kinds of branches, those that bear fruit and those that do not. Now, those without fruit, they're kind of like faith without works. And we read about that in James 2:17, where he says faith without works is dead. And so every branch that doesn't bear fruit is taken away and thrown into the fire. You see, that's the thing about grapevines. The wood is good for nothing. If it's not producing fruit, the wood is too soft to be used for anything else but to be thrown into the fire and destroyed. Every branch that does bear fruit, however, Jesus said, gets pruned. Now, why does it get pruned? Well, to bear even more fruit, of course. But this word prune, or kathairo in the Greek, while it may have a distinct picture when we think of gardening or pruning a vine, is also the same word used for purify or to be made clean. And it's the same word that's used in some passages of Scripture to reference Jesus purifying or cleansing us from our sins. So when Jesus says in the next verse to his disciples, "You are already clean," he's using the same phrase as he is when he says that the gardener is pruning the fruitful branches. He's saying to his disciples, "You have already been pruned." And this verse gives us great insight into what this pruning process actually is, because I think it's easy to get the wrong perspective here. I know I've heard 1,000 times when God has taken something from someone, or you've lost some material wealth, or you're sick, or a friend has betrayed you, or something of that nature, people will be quick to say, well, maybe God is pruning you, and he's making you more fruitful. And I'm not going to say that God doesn't do that from time to time, but that's not what this verse is saying the pruning is. Jesus tells his disciples, "You're clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." It's his word that has done the pruning. It's come through discipline from the words that Jesus taught his disciples, and the discipline brought obedience that resulted in good fruit. Now then comes the real secret to all of this fruitfulness in verse 4. Jesus says to his disciples, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." You see, this lesson of the vine is not too different from one of the lessons we learned in Exodus in our last series. If you remember in Exodus chapter 14, God is fighting for the Israelites, and he says, "I will fight for you, and all you need to do is remain silent, is to be still." And so here we learn that God is the one producing the fruit for us and through us, and all we have to do is remain surrendered to the vine. The fruit is not our task. The fruit is not our prize. The fruit probably shouldn't even be the thing that we're desiring or chasing after, per se. The fruit is simply the natural byproduct of abiding in him. It can't be avoided so long as we stay tapped into the vine and so long as we stay surrendered to the gardener. Now, this pruning process is a little more than just us learning how to trust in the gardener. It's us learning to stop fighting against the shears, to stop striving to produce the fruit on our own, or even to stop trying to protect the fruit that we already have. This kind of abiding is really, it's a generous, it's a surrendered, it's a yielded kind of abiding to God's shaping, to his desire. All the branch has to do to abide is just to drink deep. So how do we stop striving, and how do we start abiding? What does this look like? When Jesus says that he is the vine and the Father is the vine dresser, this implies complete surrender. And this is something that shouldn't be a surprise, because we know that each person of the Trinity is completely surrendered to one another. And it's not a one-way surrendering that we see. But abiding with somebody is a delicate balance of give and take. Not only does the vine respond to the gardener, but the gardener also responds to the vine, and how the vine is growing will influence how the gardener goes and prunes this branch or throws this one into the fire. Our job of abiding is not simply being passive. It's not simply just sapping the life out of this vine and taking all we can get. There's actually an action that's involved in remaining connected to the vine. And it's the same concept that fuels our theology of salvation. We believe that we're saved by grace, but we believe there's an action that we have to take in choosing to receive that gift of salvation, right? It's not that we're saved by works. There's nothing we can do to earn our place in the vine. We can't be fruitful on our own, and then God says, hey, look at that fruitful branch. I want you as part of my family. No, it's completely by grace that we're brought in, but we have to receive it. Romans 11:17 speaks to us Gentiles as being grafted in, though in this case it's to an olive shoot and not a grapevine. But still, this grafting in, it's very much like the people bringing their gold to have a grape or a leaf added to the vine at the temple, right? To have their names written there, kind of like having your name written in the book of life. But God is telling us that this grafting in is by grace. It's not something that can be bought. It's not something that that we can earn by bringing an offering or bringing gold to the temple. It's not something that we can get for ourselves. But it's the grace of God that grafts us into the vine and prunes and cares for each branch. Our surrendering, our abiding, they're simply ways of receiving this gift, just like we would receive the gift of salvation. And this is how our names are etched in, are written in to the book of life. Now, in Eastern thought, there are two pictures of grace. The first is a young kitten being carried around by the nap of its neck by its mother. It's just hanging out, just being carried around, not doing much of anything, and the mother's doing all the work. But the second picture of grace is the baby monkey. The baby monkey also gets carried around by its mother, but the monkey has to cling tightly to mommy's back as mommy runs here and there and everywhere. And that is the kind of active abiding that Jesus is talking about here in this passage. We have to cling to the vine to receive this gift as God takes us from here to there. As a result of this abiding, it's God's grace that enables and empowers our obedience. And it's our obedience that bears fruit. Now, obedience to a branch is no more than it being what it was created to be. It draws sap from the vine, it brings in the light onto its leaves, and it produces this fruit according to its species, right? Simply has to be what it was created to be. Obedience for us is very similar to that. We take in life from the vine, we soak up the light and love of God, and all we have to do is to be true to the design of our Creator as children of God. This is the recipe. This is all that's necessary to produce good fruit and to produce much fruit. The problem we face with all of this is that we are connected to too many vines, to too many false vines, to too many idols, and the sap that we're drawing from those other sources is killing our fruit. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve two masters. And all of these other vines that we serve, that we run to, they cause us to fight and to strive against the vine of Christ, especially when the other sap can taste so good in the moment. But in the end, all those other vines do is leave us feeling dried up, alone, and cast off. You've heard me talk before about Geigo. garbage in, garbage out. Essentially, you are what you eat. The things that we feed ourselves are the same things that we produce. What we watch, what we listen to, the people we hang out with, the priorities in our lives, they can either lead us to the vine or lead us away from it. Now, I know many of us are struggling with isolation right now, and that's okay. We were created for community, not social distancing. But if this is your normal, if normal is feeling dried up, alone, and cast off, then perhaps this is the time to ask yourself, what's my source? What vines am I connected to? Because that's not the fruit of the vine of Christ. The key to fruitfulness, says Jesus, is to feed yourself with the life that flows from Him. Staying connected to Him means staying connected to His Word. And this is what He said did the pruning for His disciples. He says, "You are clean because of the Word that I have spoken to you." It also means staying connected in prayer. And when this happens, we don't have to strive after His call. We don't have to fulfill some quota for ministry, or we're not going to get burnt out. We're not going to get weary trying to do the will of God. We'll simply be who He created us to be. And as a direct result, there's going to be fruit in our lives, much fruit. Being grafted in is becoming one with the Son, just as the branch becomes one with the vine. I mean, you might look at a vine and say, "Hey, look at this branch over there," or "this branch here." But you also look at the branches and you say, "Look at the vine," because the branches and the vine are one. One and the same. And just like that, the branches share in the inheritance of the vine. We find the same thing in Romans 8:17 that says we are co-heirs with Christ. And we also share in the unity of the Holy Trinity. Jesus prayed in John 17 that we will be one, just as He is and the Father are one, and just as He and the Spirit are one. So when we become one with the vine, we are becoming one with the Trinity. But this oneness, this unity, this only comes through abiding, and that is not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time prayer, one and done kind of salvation. Abiding is consistent. Abiding is ongoing. It's not like a well that you come back to day after day after day for another drink. This is why Jesus tells the Samaritan woman at the well that if she would just drink of the water that He gives, she would never thirst again. Abiding isn't coming back to the well week after week for a drink. And if you're coming to church, or now if you're tuning in online, just to get your spiritual fix for the week, I want you to hear me. God has so much more for you. We gather to celebrate. We gather to fellowship together, to worship together, to seek and grow and abide together. And this is necessary. We need the community we have, probably now more than ever. But if this is your only connection to the vine, you've got to stop simply visiting the garden every week and admiring it once in a while, feeling a little joy and hope and peace for a moment, and then going away and forgetting what it looks like the moment you step back into the real world. And you lose all your hope and your joy and your peace and your faith, and your confidence just goes out the window because you've forgotten to stay connected to the vine. Being grafted in, it's our adoption into the family of God. And adoption is not the same as weekend visitation. We don't split our time between two parents, between God on this hand and the world on the other. Trips to daddy's house on the weekends and then back to the world Monday through Friday. No, we're to abide with Him all the time. We're to remain in His complete care. And without want, we're children of the King. We live with Him in His royal house. But here's where it gets really good. Jesus says, "If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be My disciples." Luke 12:32 says, "The Father delights to give you the kingdom." And it says delight to answer your prayers. But I want you to notice the condition here that Jesus gives. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. And of course, I can't tell you why God seems to answer some prayers and not others. And I'm not trying to say that if he hasn't come through for you, it's because you didn't do something right. That would be completely the opposite of grace. But I will say that if you're a grape branch and you've been asking God for orange fruit or kiwi fruit or a pineapple, don't hold your breath. But if you are a grape branch and you ask for grapes, well, of course, it makes sense that God is going to want to answer your prayer. Of course, it might come with time. It might come with pruning. The grapevine is cut back completely for 3 whole years before it's allowed to produce fruit. Might be reference even to how Jesus pruned and cleansed the disciples for 3 years of his ministry before this moment. Things might not happen right away. But if you're praying for the fruit of the vine, and what's the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And if you're praying for these things, I have to believe that the answer is always going to be yes. As we continue in our scripture this morning, we come to verse 10. Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You see, after grace flows naturally obedience. As I said before, it's grace that enables and empowers our obedience. But you know what? So often I feel like I'm a teenager in the house of God, wanting the connection with the Father, wanting the protection of the Father, the provision of the Father, but at the same time, I'm fighting for my independence and my self-reliance and to call the shots for myself. And I'm not saying that kind of struggle isn't okay for a season. It certainly doesn't threaten God or change who he is at all. And it might help to build our confidence as we become more made in the image of God and stretch our wings a little bit. But the moment that this becomes rebellion to the vine, it just stops working. Never works when you're fighting against the vine or fighting against the gardener. As we fill ourselves with the sap of the vine through the word and through prayer, we are enabled by God's grace and equipped to obey the natural laws of who God created us to be. And what are those natural laws? Jesus summed it up in 2 things. 1, loving God. And 2, loving our neighbor. You'll find this reiterated verse 12 in this very passage. He says, this is my command to you that you love one another. Now, this obedience, this isn't striving. This isn't trying harder. According to this verse, our obedience is simply abiding. Now finally, verse 11 tells us that this abiding and obeying, this beautiful tension between God's grace and pruning in our lives, or purifying on the one hand, and our active clinging and surrender like the baby monkey on the other hand, these are for us. These are for God's joy in us and for our joy to be full. Not just to have moments of joy here and there, but to be full of life, to be full of joy, to be overflowing and abounding in joy. This is for us, for our fullness of life. I'm reminded of the story of the prodigal son here, because the prodigal son, he in essence tells his father, hey, I wish you were dead, give me my inheritance now. He goes off to a far land and wastes all of it on himself. And when he gets tired and hungry, he comes crawling back to his father and says, hey, make me a servant or a hired hand in your house. But the father welcomes him back with open arms and grafts him back in to the vine of his household. Now, his brother had a very different reaction. His brother was very jealous, was very angry. And his brother had been part of this vine the whole time. But he'd missed something very important about what it means to abide in Christ. See, his fruit had become bitter because he had started comparing and judging all of the other branches. That's not abiding. verses 12 through 17 tell us the rest of this story. The commandment is love. This love, this should be the focus of our abiding. And I'm not telling you that you shouldn't chase after the dreams God's given you. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't serve or make sacrifices here and there, or that you shouldn't try, or that you shouldn't give. You know me better than that by now. Of course you should do those things. But I am telling you that before you do any of that, abide. Because if you abide in him, you're not going to be able to help doing the other stuff. If you abide in him, you're not going to have to try. If you abide in him, you're not going to feel burdened or stressed or anxious or burnt out. It's just going to come naturally. It's just going to be who you are as you let the gardener prune and water and cultivate your life to produce an abundance of fruit. I want to challenge you today to spend some time in God's word and in prayer. Specifically, I want you to spend some time in the next verses of this passage. Spend some time reading John chapter 15, 12 through 17. Study these verses, meditate on them, discuss them in your small groups, and ask questions about them. Ask questions of each other, but ask questions of us. Send us an email, info@revolutionky.org. Say, hey guys, I'm struggling with this verse. I don't know what it means. I need your help. What have you got? We would love to help you. Discover what God would say to you through these verses, because these verses are essential to understanding what this message of the vine is all about. Now, as we close, I want to take a moment and pray together. Holy Father, great gardener, Lord of all, take these branches today, myself and all those who are watching or listening today, take these branches and make us abundantly fruitful. Teach us to abide in you, to surrender to you, to rest in you, to drink deeply of you. Help us to renounce all of the other vines and sources in our lives, and help us to turn to you every moment of every day. Oh Lord, fill us. Fill us with your life, your love, your joy, your peace. The peace of a gardener working in his vineyard, taking such gentle care of all of us, all part of your beloved vine through Jesus, your Son. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your great faithfulness. In the name of Jesus, the precious vine, we pray. Amen. Folks, it has been great worshiping with you today. I know you've seen enough of me, so I think we're going to skip the newscast for today. But I do want to remind you of a few important announcements. And first, if you're tuning in for the first time, this is your first encounter with Revolution Church, I just want to give you a big welcome and shout out today. And I want to ask you, would you take some time this week and send us an email at info@revolutionky.org? Just let us know who you are, where you're viewing from, so that we can get to know you a little bit better this week. Then, I want everybody to make sure that you're following us on Facebook, that you're subscribed to our email news blast, that you're visiting our website, that you have our mobile app, because this is how we're getting important information to you right now in this time. This is how we're telling you about upcoming announcements, about events like our prayer night that we had last week, and our Celebrate Recovery, all things that we're hosting online right now. You'll hear about future cancellations or even when we're able to worship again in person. So please get those things. Make sure you're tuned in to hear all the latest news. Now, folks, we have a special opportunity right now. And we honestly have this opportunity every day of our lives. But we have an opportunity right now to dive deep and to focus a new way on abiding in Christ. To dive into his word, to dive into prayer, even to reach out in community with one another, though I do ask that you would do it safely. We have an opportunity to be the revolution by simply being and abiding in Christ. As you do so, you can't help but change the world around you. And so I give you that charge to abide in him and to be the revolution as you do. Go in peace, and may God bless you this week. Shalom.